My aunt's little ones are doing a 9-week course. And I mean, I know they're really olic and stuff, but I just think it's kind of cruel. Because when she says sit, they sit. When she says come, they come. And now, she's teaching them tricks, like party tricks and stuff. I mean, it's exploitation. Come on, I mean, the poor dogs.
A combination meal, inspired by seven colors, is something for everyone. Nando's, fire it up.
This is CliffCentral.com.
December. Are you in the Christmas mood? Christmas is, you realize this time next week it'll all be over. Christmas will be done for. This time next week it's Boxing Day already. Get that?
Oh.
So we have this huge build up with Christmas, and then you have kind of like a sudden crash straight afterwards, don't you think?
No, Gareth, it starts again, then it's 364 days. You're always living in hope of Christmas.
I do love that. I like that. That's a good way of looking at things. I like Christmas. I like it enough to have to dedicate the entire year to waiting for the next one.
Sure, let's go with that. It's a lot of work.
Why not, right?
No.
Why not?
It's a bit loony. Even I can admit that.
Come on, it's good. So, what's everybody up to? What's going on? How are we proceeding in the last working week of the year?
Gareth, it's not going well.
Why, Ben?
I'm trying to finish off the last of my video projects for the year, which already take forever. That's the thing. Like, I used to write every week, and it was pretty easy. Come up with an idea, string some words together. Hey, presto, you got a piece.
Right.
And if your computer had to mess out or something and it deleted, well, you would hate it, but I mean, you could pretty much get it together again.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. When that happens to your video project, you actually want to commit suicide.
You mean you've been losing video projects?
Yesterday, so the iCloud, I mean, I've always hated the cloud. I think it's stupid. But it kept like pestering me, because I'm like kind of working with some pretty big files, and it kept pestering me, like, your computer's running out of space, blah, blah, blah. Okay, yeah, I get it. So then it's telling me these weird and wonderful things for the cloud. Oh, okay,
weird,
cool.
Weird and wonderful.
So I click on this update something or other, everything goes. Just goes. Like Stranger Things, just lost a son. Just done.
See, this is why technology is not your best friend, I'm telling you.
And then, the worst thing is, the file's there. I want to put it back into Final Cut and let's get back to work.
Mm-hmm.
No, cannot read this file.
Why
not? It's there. I can see it. It's mine. I've labeled it. I've done everything right. You supposedly making my life easier, cloud. But
supposedly.
Now, you're just holding all my work hostage.
Ben has always hated the cloud, and now he hates it even more.
So 2 days of work, which I was meant to finish yesterday, because today I was meant to be playing golf, gone.
You're going to have to...
So today I'm not playing golf. I'm restarting an entire project, which I had 2 days work on yesterday, because the cloud is the worst thing in the whole world. So then I thought, like, okay, we'll just remedy it with some, you know, mild hallucinogenics.
Oh.
And then lost the rest of my day from there.
Wait, what? Sorry, that was a bit of
mild
a plot
hallucinogenics.
Twist.
Yeah.
What?
For yourself?
Yeah, so we had some mushrooms left over from Cape Town 7th that we didn't take.
Oh, wow. Okay,
Cape Town 7th.
You did shrooms yesterday?
And then they were like 75 times stronger than I was banking on.
Oh, wow. So what were you tripping?
So I went from hating the cloud to then like being in the cloud, and then that was it. Like, next thing I know, I
look at you.
Sorry, I have like 3,004 questions.
What were you
right
just
now.
Sitting in your house, and you two of you were, tripping the hell out of the place?
Like, this is fine. But I've lost the buzz. Meanwhile, I'm like, I've lost the plot. So she's going on like doing her nails and going on with life, and I'm just.
What was the experience like for you?
This time wasn't so good. Normally, no problem. It's pretty easy. I don't know. Maybe it's because I was so angry because of technology. My headspace wasn't like right there. I don't know.
What does the high feel like? Because I only have marijuana to compare any high to. That's the only stuff I've ever done. What do shrooms make you
apparently
do?
Apparently, it's like really good marijuana.
Oh, is it?
But so like shrooms, it kind of hits you in waves.
Do they make you like paranoid, slightly lose your mind?
Look, last night I was just a bit of an angry sailor, but it's any sort of hallucinogenic, really. Your mind goes somewhere else, which I needed to go to because the cloud was just like breaking my spirit.
Is the sex better on shrooms like it is on marijuana?
I don't know. Daniela kept running away from me.
That's because you were probably frothing at the mouth.
No, like, I wasn't. Every time I sat down, she was like, "I don't know." She had something to do with some shit.
So is this the norm for people going to the Rugby Sevens? Like, hey, let's get shrooms.
No, I don't know. Like a friend of mine just gave me some. So you're making this like jelly sort of paste, so it tastes like a jelly baby.
A jelly paste.
Yeah, and then like I had someone the Friday night when I was in Cape Town, but like nothing, which is so
it's
so
like
weak.
A cube of jelly, and you just pop it in your mouth.
Yeah. And she said, "Yeah, it's really weak." And I tried some. I was like, "Yeah, nothing."
How quickly does it hit?
Weirdly, after like an hour and a half, you just totally forget. So there I was, just like, screw it, hate you, cloud. Had a beer, had half of this thing, and I just sat there.
Frothing at the mouth.
No, I just said that nothing happened other than my own torment towards this technology crap. And then suddenly I started making dinner and then it just like kicked in.
I want to try them, but I have no idea where I would begin accessing shrooms. Like,
Gord.
What's
Gord?
No.
Well, guys,
because I don't know.
Who's got the most tattoos out of all of us? It's either Gord or...
That's what it is.
It's either Gord or Amanda knows someone.
Amanda, probably you know someone, right?
Yeah, I know a few people.
Oh, there
see, nonchalance. That's what you'll get from tomorrow.
Yeah, I know a few people.
All right, Amanda, you and I will talk.
What is going on here?
You know, I don't think. I don't know if you should, but.
No.
But I would say
I will jump off a building.
Mubs, you know what I've realized? It's like a lot of my friends are keen to try all kinds of stuff at the moment. The way I feel about it. There's no way at your age you're going to suddenly develop a massive addiction to something. Plus, these kinds of things are not necessarily addictive even. You know, because they're not lifestyle drugs. They're not like alcohol or cigarettes that you take every day or every week. It's an experience. And if you can, why not? It goes down to how much you know yourself and trust yourself, that's all.
I mean, I've been getting high for a decade now, so I know what I'm dealing with.
Yeah.
You've been around
maybe
this block
maybe
before.
You should change the recipe a little bit.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm thinking now. Because I've never taken anything else.
You know what's so great? Can I tell you what's so great about this morning? Is nobody's spoken about Cyril yet, and I want to keep it that way until at least 5:30.
Okay.
Oh, you kind of broke it.
No,
we're
I don't.
Good.
Okay. I just suddenly thought, wow, everybody, you know, because a lot of people tune in to hear what's going on in the news.
Yes.
And discuss the stuff that happened. Yeah, sometimes this stuff's more exciting. Mm-hmm. Like, today's my big day for Christmas shopping.
Yeah, mine too.
Yesterday.
Well, not that I have time because of this stupid cloud.
And golf?
No, I got to cancel golf.
Cancelled.
You know how shit it is? Like someone invites you to go play golf. Now I've got to say, look, I've had some issues with the cloud. I can't play tomorrow. Well, you feel even worse.
No, that's a terrible excuse.
Terrible.
Yesterday, I spent the entire day wallpapering the office.
Oh, that was delightful, wasn't it?
I taught Sia how to wallpaper. Are you kidding?
Oh my gosh, the two of you wallpapers.
Great.
With his dad.
Yeah.
It was just this very interesting combination.
It was fantastic.
Yes.
See, I loved it. He was slathering glue all over the wallpaper.
Well, I just wanted to pick up on terminology that I could use to sound like a macho... hardware DIY man.
Like Sia was walking around saying, pass me the star screwdriver, please.
Yeah. I learned Stanley knife.
Mm-hmm.
I learned spirit level. Yes. And there's a 45-degree spirit level.
Yeah, you loved that.
Oh, yeah. You could use it all the time. And I could slather some of that wallpaper
CMA wallpaper glue, which was like snot.
And then if the office turns out looking nasty, don't blame me.
No, it looks good. I don't think it looks too bad.
That was fun. And we didn't kill each other.
No, it was easy.
Exactly.
It was really cool. So that was what we spent. It took way longer than I thought, though. We started around, 9:30 and finished at like 2:30.
Oof.
It was a long day. And, you know, I keep thinking of people who work in at this time of year and just how tired they must get. Because even if you've had a break at some other point in the year, seeing everybody else stopping work makes you not want to work particularly, you know?
It really doesn't, Gareth.
Makes you want to stop as well. I'm not a fan of people who don't work, or rather who don't take time off at Christmas. Because I think they sort of make the rest of us feel anxious that we should be working. And they feel bad because everyone else is on holiday and they're stuck at work. It doesn't work for anybody. Really, we should just have a moratorium, like a ban. Especially for that week between Christmas and New Year next week. By the way, has anybody got plans for New Year's Eve?
Yeah, we're going to some friend's house close by.
It's like a house party.
House party.
That's always the best.
Totally sophisticated thing.
What are you up to, sir?
I'm not following anyone's advice of the extreme warnings about Cape Town, but I'll be hopping all over the place.
Oh, well, at your peril.
Yeah.
Wait, what are the extreme warnings?
It's just like, well, Cape Town is so full, don't even think about moving anywhere, find one spot, chill there. But, you know, I can have a party on this street, so it's fine. If I'm stuck in traffic, you get out of your car, you start dancing about.
I don't think you have to worry.
Yeah.
Go for it. Just don't drive.
No,
that's all.
No.
Because driving is just unnecessary. Like in Cape Town, you have to go from A to B, and A to B is like a couple of meters. So Uber is absolutely all you'll ever need if you can't walk.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, good luck getting it for like 7,000 rand.
No, of course.
The hikes.
No, that's a disaster.
So then is it worth going to the Jimmy Nevis and Odd Matthews thing? But then I also wanted to be on Long Street. That's my thing.
No, Sia, why do you want to get stabbed?
How did we get from Long Street to...
Go to Long Street on New Year's and get stabbed.
But it's just...
Get your head out of your ass.
I feel like it will be a first Thursday times a million.
Yeah, plus times a stab wound.
From who?
Well, anyone who's got a broken bottle in their one hand.
First Thursday is fine.
There are times I wish I had your youthful exuberance towards life, and other times where I'm thinking I'm just fine.
It's exciting. I'll go there.
Long Street?
Yeah.
Long Street's not sort of a New Year day. Is that where you want to be for New Year?
Well, I don't know. It's my first New Year's Eve.
I'd rather go.
Don't make it your last either.
Because I just want to find a balcony somewhere.
Oh, right.
For the countdown. Because I think that'll look fabulous for my Instagram.
Priorities.
La Parada, dude. Do it.
Because from a certain angle and you just get me standing on the balcony and the crowds underneath.
If you go to La Parada, there's like a forest right next to it.
You've got
lots
way
of nice
more
people. And chances of open blades, minimal.
Well, open blades in Long Street, pretty high.
Yeah.
Also, I just need a classy friend who has a Mount Sion somewhere. And then they can invite me there. That'll be hot.
Well, there's a better chance of meeting one at the top of Concentra Neck then.
Yeah, you're not going to meet them in Long Street.
Well, I need to meet them before New Year's Eve, guys.
So what I'm understanding here is you don't actually have a concrete plan at all.
No, I just have wing people and we're just winging it.
All right.
Yeah.
No, that's fine. Sometimes those nights end up well, but don't be surprised if it doesn't.
Well,
don't be surprised if you're en route to something as the clock strikes 12.
You just need tons of booze and anything will be fine.
I'll never forget. I had one New Year in Bolito. I was doing two parties that night.
Oof.
I had to do a Bolito gig until like 11, and then I had to be in Umhlanga at 12. Sorry, half past 12. So I was driving on my own in a rental car between Bolito and Umhlanga when the clock struck 12. I mean, it doesn't matter. It doesn't make any difference. But you get severe FOMO in that moment. You're like, because you're the only person on the road except for like taxis and, you know, there's nobody else.
Yeah.
Like no trucks, no people going to a party. Because if you're not at the party by 12, don't bother going. And I was driving on the halfway and I was kind of listening to what was going on and seeing the fireworks, and I realized how dumb the whole New Year thing is. Because we set unrealistic expectations for New Year's Eve. We want it to be the biggest, best party of the year, and it's not going to be.
But you can make it.
No, it's always going to be slightly disappointing because we have such unrealistic expectations for it. Like there could have been, you could have had a better party on the 2nd of August, for all you know. But New Year, it's going to be huge. It's going to be amazing. It's going to be big. It's going to be drunk. It's going to be beautiful. It's going to be all these things. Eh. Don't do that to yourself. It's a huge amount of pressure. What are you doing, Amanda?
Probably H2O.
Oh, really?
But I'm trying to convince a friend of mine to go to Belito.
Listen, can you take that Christmas decoration?
Oh, I thought it was off. The only one.
Take the Christmas decoration off your microphone. It's because okay. It taps against it the whole time. It drives me crazy.
It was annoying me so much.
All right, so H2O or what?
H2O or Belito, or there's this place called Tilt.
Tilt?
Yeah.
What is it?
No, it's a really nice like venue place where they're having like a New Year's street party.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so definitely want to do something. But like you said, it never goes as planned.
Mm-mm.
Like, and most of the time it's actually very disappointing.
Best way to spend New Year's is to turn a beer crate upside down and just finish what's in it.
No. No.
No, I think for a lot of people, that's the most you could hope for.
I really want to start some sort of New Year's tradition. So what's something that? You do, I don't know, because I've always had, like, I've been all over the place for New Year's. And I just, I really just love something that could be like, you do the same thing every time, and then from there you do something cool. I think like once, I don't know, if my computer plays ball, maybe I can make money next year, is to have a New Year's where you do something home, and then the very next day you fly somewhere. You go somewhere cool. So you do the whole festive season of staying lying low, that kind of stuff. But the New Year's, it's like, yeah, party, and then you go away.
Straight away. Yeah. Start your New Year on holiday.
At the airport.
It could be fun.
Yeah. No, but like New Year's Day, people are already there in a gutter or stabbed, like, see us. No one's going to be flying. So your airport's going to be
pretty cool, actually. In fact, New Year's Day is the quietest day.
Yeah.
You can never get anything done.
So you rock up there. You're full of life. Everyone else is like, ugh. I've never gone to that party. I can't believe I was H2O with Amanda. And then you're like, yeah, I'm going somewhere. This is so fun.
I'm also the idiot who has to fly on the 1st of Jan as well.
What time?
Well, we hope.
I have no idea.
You better hope that's not an early flight.
That was my only warning.
Oh, my God.
Because my sister booked it on my behalf. I was just like, nothing too early. Oh, well.
And your plans, Mabs?
Will be eventful.
I'm going to be with some friends. Possibly in Zim.
In Zim?
What? Yeah. You see, this is your problem. What?
Wow. Possibly road tripping it.
Oh, wow. That sounds cool.
Yeah, we must just get our shit together and finalize things this week, but that's very likely.
Sounds like a lot of fun. Harare? Or are you going somewhere outside of Harare? Somewhere like...
I have no idea. There's a guy we know who is from Zim who's offered to kind of like host us.
Oh, nice.
So we'll see.
Is it Robert Gabriel Mugabe now that he's
no,
finished?
No.
Because I know you have a thing for dictators.
No, isn't he in Singapore currently, that one?
Oh, yes.
Who, he is, ne?
Yeah.
Who's
yeah.
even spoken about him in the last month or two?
You know how it is. We lose interest very
when
quickly.
When did he have to abdicate? Resign?
What is it, like 3 weeks ago now?
Okay, so it feels like 2 months ago. So it was 3 weeks, but no one's really spoken of him since then. It's amazing how quickly people go away. Gedlehlekisa will go away like that too one day.
Yeah.
Like a flush, like something you flush.
Oh.
Yeah. Joy, did you see that video of him reacting when Cyril was announced as president?
No.
Oh, that's classic.
But okay, he's damned if he does and he's damned if he doesn't. Because if he had clapped, then everyone would be saying like, oh my goodness, no, he's supporting Cyril all the time. What about NDZ? And then if he... didn't, as he didn't yesterday, he just sat there. I actually think that was the best reaction, to just almost have a poker face on.
Well, he did. He was very stern-faced, and then he did that thing where he sort of, you know, just swallows his top lip.
But if I really try to read into the situation, he was playing with his fingers on the side.
He was not happy.
That just shows anxiety and just doesn't know what to do exactly.
I think it was Nikolaus Bauer from ENCA who got the video.
I still love the presumptuousness of his name.
Nikolaus.
Nikolaus.
It's not downloading.
Nikolaus.
Sorry, let me just try and fix this for my buddy. I need to hear her reaction to this. See if it was only me who thought it was fun.
All right, there's Gidley.
Okay.
Sorry.
And then they zoom into his face. Yeah. Very poker faced, hey?
Yeah.
Oh, well.
What else could he have done?
Crumbalumbas.
It is what
could
it
have
is.
Not, you could have not stolen and deceived for the last 10 years. That's what he could have done.
Hell.
Yeah, that would have been nice. Anyway, there he is. All right, so do you want to get into some things you need to know today?
Yeah, boy.
All right, it's brought to you by Calcacchio Pizzeria. There are a couple of things that you need to know before you start your day today. Cyril Ramaphosa is the new president of the ANC. Today, that's not news to a lot of people. A lot of people would have been sitting around with bated breath waiting for that all day yesterday. And man, did they take their time. Ranjini Munsami says that she was watching Cyril and Gedleyihlekisa, who were sitting next to each other at the ANC elective conference, waiting for the results. And they were phoning a lot of people. They were taking pictures of the journalists. They were really bored waiting for those results. Can you imagine how awkward it would have been? She says at one point it even looked like they phoned each other because they both hung up at the same time. Yeah, so that was the main one. A couple of interesting things. A lot of people are going at Fikile Mbalula because he was saying yesterday, oh no, it's definitely going to be Nkosazana and we can't wait. This is going to be the first female president of the ANC. It's like Mzwanele Manye also did the same thing. He said, oh, it's going to be the first woman president of the ANC, and then it didn't happen. So
yeah, but there you got two of the least credible people
I know
on this country. So the fact it didn't happen is actually kind of right, because they never know what's going on.
Apparently Batabile Dlamini was so upset and emotional that she needed to go and sit and cry in a room for like 4 hours.
Really?
Well, if you were staring down the barrel of never ever being able to find a job again, wouldn't you be sad? Who's going to ever employ her? Her usefulness is completely at an end now. She's finished. She's like yesterday's trash. People are saying these are the 10 things that Cyril must do. I'm going to give you the top three. First of all, Cyril is required to craft an urgent exit plan for Jacob Zuma as the starting point to restore public confidence and trust in the ANC and government.
And a flight of stairs should do.
Zuma should be given a short period, 2 weeks at most, to pack up and go. Ramaphosa's road to power was in part propelled by the promise that trust in government can be restored and that all the ills Zuma represents could be eradicated. But then, as the fourth thing you need to know this morning, a lot of people are saying this top six is not so great. People are saying, well, it contains Ace Magashule as the new Secretary General.
That's the guy in the Free State who won't go.
Very crooked guy in the Free State. Then there's that very crooked guy in Mpumalanga, Didi Mabuza, who's also the deputy president now, because that was obviously a deal that they had to craft on the sides. And then Jessie Duarte stays, and she's definitely in the Gupta camp.
Yeah.
So that's at least three out of the top six are Guptas. And then there's Paul Mashatile and Gwede. Gwede is now the chairperson. But people are saying it's half and half. So it's one half of the Cyril camp and one half of the NDZ camp. That's what people are saying. And what else can I tell you? There are 10 tweets that you've got to know about Cyril clinching the top spot. Ooh, 10 very funny tweets that people have been putting out. The first one is from Chester Missing. Ace Magashule is now Secretary General of the ANC. Ace ran a dairy farm for the Guptas. He literally milked it for the Guptas. That's a pretty funny one. Lindo Kutle Nisi. Picture of Cyril laughing at his laptop. And it says, good evening, Mr. at Mbalula Fikile. How are you doing? Hashtag CR17. Which got like 350 loves. Knickerbocker, that's at Kolo Matluana, says, finally, Limpopo shall be recognized. We shall speak Chivenda in taxis nationwide.
Yeah, they were already going after the Zulu speakers in the country, saying, well, looks like your time is up.
Not one person in the top six is from KZN. Very bad. Hmm. I saw Senzo Mtunu. They lifted him up and they were carrying him towards the stage, and then halfway they realized, oh, but hang on, it's Ace. Can someone please confirm if Fikile Mbalula is still breathing? Said Mashao 32745414. A guy called Victor Valoy said, every time Cyril smiles, the rand becomes stronger against the US dollar. Hashtag 017.
I saw that one.
Yeah. Principal Tobalano said, Jacob Zuma was shook when they announced Ramaphosa. It reminds me of the day Pep Guardiola made Sir Alex Ferguson shake with Barcelona. And then someone else said, can't front on Didi Mabuza. Jumping from Premier to Deputy President, that's a jack move, CR17. And Divor Chishonga said, CR17 wins. Tomorrow we're having a Chivanda verse in the national anthem. And then I saw our friend Rob Forbes said, Ace is the guy who paid 40 million rand for a WordPress website, Moz. And finally, Jay-Z would have passed the water to the Guptas, said someone. Cyril taking bottles of water off the table and passing them to photographers. Jay-Z would have passed that on to the Guptas. So lots of funny tweets coming out of this. And plenty of funny stuff from all the journalists there too, who must have been exhausted, right?
Oh, it's been a long weekend for them, I'm sure.
Yeah. So there's all the stuff you need to know from the ANC elective conference. Later on, we'll speak to, who are we talking to? Richard Poplack.
Richard Poplack
today. That's very exciting. So Richard Poplack will join us. He's got some insights. He was there as well. And Thursday, we'll speak to Ranjini Munsami, who was at the ANC elective conference too. So just in case you don't know, Cyril Lin is the president. David Mabuza is the deputy president, and he beat Lindiwe Sisulu out of that role. National chairperson, Gwede Mantashe, he beat Natim Tetwa. And then Ace Magashule beat Senzo Mkunu as secretary general. And then deputy secretary general is Jesse Duarte. And treasurer general, Paul Mashatine, taking over from Zweli Mkhize, who went very quiet through this. And isn't it horrible that only one woman is in the top six, you know, for those people who love quota systems? But then if your quality of candidates are people like Batabile Dlamini and Nkosazana Dlamini Zuma and Balega Mbete, what do you really want? You know, quality before quantity when it comes to this kind of thing. So that's all the stuff you need to know. Let's turn our attention now to Ben, see what's going on in the sport. The sport brought to you by Land Rover Jaguar Menlyn. If you haven't already booked a test drive, this is the perfect week to do it. Get hold of them right now. Just go onto menlyn.landrover.co.za and go and book a test drive. Tell them you heard about it on cliffcentral.com. They'll make you a nice cappuccino. You can go and sit there. They explain the car to you. You get the keys. You take it for a little drive. You don't have to be rich. You don't have to be connected. This is the connection you need. Just tell them you heard about it here, and then you will get treated like royalty. Drive the new Range Rover Velar. You will be impressed. God, that is a beautiful car inside. Ben, still the best looking car inside, right?
Yeah, it was a special place to be. It really was. It's like you're a bit in the future.
In the cockpit of some futuristic vehicle. And it drives beautifully too. So there we go. That's all you need to know. Head over to menlyn.landrover.co.za. Or if you want to go straight to the dealership, it's on the corner of Gasfontein and on the N1 in Pretoria. So head on down. Here is Ben with the sport. Take it away, Ben.
Well, Australia are now the holders of the Ashes again. How embarrassing. How absolutely embarrassing.
But so it wasn't expected. You predicted this.
Well, yeah, we were saying prior to the series how they'll win the 5-test series 6-0. And Australia, well, they're 3-0 up after 3 tests. So in Perth, the final time will ever be played, a test match will ever be played at the Wacker or in the Ashes. All gone. So Australia, they lost the toss. England batted, as we saw late last week. And we really thought that England would bat themselves to a draw, because they were doing so bloody well. They'd never win it, but I mean, they could have given themselves enough runs. But they turned a 500 into a 400, and with that, they were absolutely crushed by the Aussies. They went full England twice, as in their tail did not wag one bit. Just a whole bunch of what's a nice term for saying cowardly? they were just listless and useless and feeble, limp, and just unable to deal with the pressure of the highest form of the game away from home. So England, to their credit, they're a decent side at home. I think 2001 was all way back then. England actually won the Ashes. Australia actually won the Ashes away from home. So we all know they're a good side. They threw the Proteas aside this year as well. But take them away, you know, when they can't drink Tetley's Bitter or have their mother phone them or whatever it is, that these guys are pretty bloody useless away from home. So Australia ended up winning the third test by an innings and 41 runs. that just kind of highlights the plight of all this, how dreadful this result is. But two things that make it worse. Firstly, Ash's celebratory photographs are the worst in the entire world. You've got two grown men kissing something the size of, well, I'm just going to say it, the size of a penis.
Yeah, it's not
it
a great...
It makes for the worst photos ever. I will tweet one shortly, but it's just dreadful. Two men kissing something and their lips are so close together. Don't kiss the ashes. Hold it on your hand. I know it's the smallest trophy in the world and it's so prestigious and it's older than Father Time, but why must two men kiss it like that?
It's just very creepy. Just show my belly. Let's just see a reaction.
Look, I've got nothing against men showing love to each other, which I kind of confirmed yesterday, but this is just... It's just unsavory.
Horrible.
Exactly unsavory. How you showed us yesterday, yes.
See, I mean, look, this picture of Darren Lehman and Captain Steve Smith having a kiss of this trophy. Firstly, it looks like...
It's very creepy.
Well, it looks like my computer's just trying very hard to be like yesterday again. But tell me, look at that and tell me that's not the creepiest thing.
Where is it, Ben? Oh, there.
Oh, I see nothing wrong with that.
It's a horrible picture.
I see nothing wrong with that.
Let's see it at Long Street at 1 in the morning if his life goes backwards.
Two proud men getting well acquainted.
Second thing that's horrible about this early Ashes result is that you've got the MCG and the SCG. Boxing Day test, New Year's test, two of the most iconic test match settings, rivalries, everything about it. The MCG takes like 7 million people. It's the biggest cricket stadium in the world. And then, well, maybe the one in India is bigger, but Boxing Day test, it doesn't get any bigger. Then the SCG, you get the pink test, it's just beautiful, everything about it. And both of those test matches mean nothing, because England have already rolled over and played dead.
I know.
It's a bit sad. But when you do look at the stats, though, well, the Aussie batsman there, right at the top there, David Malan, he's the only batsman from England, along with Bairstow, who have done it all right. Otherwise, it's just Aussies, 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 and it gets even worse with the bowlers. Stark and Hazelwood right at the top there. Stark's got 19 wickets, Hazelwood 15, Lyon 14, and only overrated Jimmy Anderson, he's up there with 12 wickets. Stuart Broad, 5 wickets in 3 test matches. How the hell are you going to try to be competitive with that? Moeen Ali, 3 wickets in 3 test matches. Lathan Lyon's got 11 more test wickets in the series in 3 test matches. Makes a pitiful reading. And this is when you, a captain, you're thinking, I hate my team so much. My senior players are useless. And my other ones, well, I knew they were useless. Now they're just playing up to it. In rugby news, Jeremy Guscott, the legend English centre, said that SA must get rid of their quotas if they've got any chance of progressing in world rugby. He said that ever since the quotas have come into play, SA have just the losing depth and they're just not the force they used to be. So for many people, this is a very difficult issue because many will say, yes, Jeremy, obviously, but you know, our country goes through the transformation process. But then you say, but why must transformation, how bad is our transformation process that at this stage of the game, we can't produce really talented black players?
It should be working.
I'm more on the other side. I think this is a system that can work, and I think it's a system that we must forge ahead with. And it just shows how badly it's been run. So unfortunately, I think it's a bad system, rather than thinking that you've got to get rid of these kind of things. Anyway, it's too late yet to get into that. I just find it interesting that Jeremy Guscott right now would come out with something like that. Even more scandalous news in rugby is that Alistair Cristier might not actually have a performance clause in his contract.
Oh, really? Like, so why do they bother?
Yesterday I was going on about how ridiculous this is that he can not have a review. Meanwhile, the review was in the diary that everyone was saying. It must now be taken over to next month. But now this whole thing about him probably not having a performance clause? It's just stupid. Then why bother? Why are we even going through this facade if this guy can have a 44% win record and contractually nothing's wrong with that? So some people are saying that Saru are taking their time with this because they really want to get him out and not be sued. Other people are saying, well, it's just a matter of time until he stays because these guys are so limp. And Alistair Cristier is lawyered up pretty hard. So if you think Alistair Cristier, if he gets fired and doesn't get the big pack out, the big payout, it pays for him to lawyer up like the front Bradar right now. In order to make sure he still has 2 more years of employment. Wow. Because after this, he's on his ass.
Oh my God.
And Julian Savia, the very talented New Zealand winger who has scored a huge 46 tries in 54 test matches, but isn't good enough to get into the All Black team, he's considering a switch to rugby league. Just shows you how good their talent is and what they do with their talent. He scored 46 tries in 54 test matches, but he's deemed surplus to the needs of the best team in the world.
Wow.
If Julian Savia was South African, wow, I mean, he would have had he would have had his own CakeNet show by now. He would be he'd put every Vodacom and insurance advert. He would just be an absolute hero. Absolute hero.
Vodacom and insurance.
Yeah, Gareth, that's pretty much it for the sport. I think England are just too weak, and unfortunately, it's just ruined the Ashes. I mean, we all knew they'd get thrashed, but at least do it with some sort of dignity. They haven't even like shown any fight or any sort of backbone. And a lot of people are saying, well, it's because there's no Ben Stokes. Get him back in there. Get him in a bar. Something. Just
get him
something.
Into a fight. No, thank you, Ben. The current Ethereum price, one Ether, $835.2. And the price of Bitcoin at the moment, $19,418.
Hmm.
In case you're wondering, we said we'd give you those updates daily, and there they are. And a lot of people yesterday were going, it's Bitcoin, I see it's crashing again. All the non-Bitcoin owners. And then suddenly it rallied back. I mean, it hit 20,000 at a certain point yesterday, which is the highest it's ever been. And Ethereum is on this mad tear at the moment, 835. Isn't that also a brand new high?
I think it is, yeah.
Yes. So there we go. If you're watching the cryptocurrencies, that's what's going on over there. Over to you, Sia. Let's find out what's happening in said by Sia.
Remember a few days ago, I think it was last week sometime, when I spoke to you about Mama Rosie, who was nominated as one of the 2017...
Yeah, she runs a creche.
Yes, CNN Hero of the Year.
Mm-hmm.
Well, she did not win, but nonetheless, congratulations to an Amy Wright. Now, she went on stage and had to declare that my children are not broken. Now, most parents actually don't have to say this, but for her, in her case specifically, with two kids that were born with Down syndrome, it was clear that she would have to back them up in every step of the way. So she says that when you become a parent of a child with special needs, you're instantly thrust into becoming an advocate, trying to make people see the beauty in their lives that we as a parent see. So that's when her advocacy actually took the form of a coffee shop. Doesn't this remind you a bit of our favorite in Cape Town, Brownies and Downies?
Isn't it that one?
No, well, it reminds us of that because she opened Bitty and Bo's Coffee back in January of 2016.
Please tell me she didn't call this Down syndrome child of hers Bitty.
Yeah, one is Bitty and the other is Bo.
Make the child's life even worse
it's
by
named
giving
after
it
her like two
a,
children.
Giving it a gimmick name.
And then more than that, after naming it after her children, she then hired 40 disabled employees at the North Carolina shop to, and as a bit of an army of support. Now, Amy was named the 2017 CNN Hero of the Year for her efforts to advocate for disabled people. The award is determined by online voters who selected Wright from among the top 10 CNN Hero finalists. Now, she receives $100,000 to grow her cause, but I was actually incorrect last week when I said that everyone in the top 10 receives this amount. Instead, actually, everyone receives a $10,000 cash award just to themselves personally. And then CNN and a lot of other sponsors put together a donation to each of the heroes' causes, which can be matched up to $50,000. So listen, even to Mama Rosie, you didn't exactly win, but you go home with $50,000, you do a little maths, you hold the one, you carry the four. That's a pretty penny for you to take back home. But back to Amy, she says that she is bringing the cash prize home to her 40 employees who work at Bitty and Bo because they are my heroes. And most of all, to my two youngest children, Bitty and Bo, who are my inspirations. She says, I want you to know, because I know you are watching, this is to her kids, that I would not change you for the world, but I would change the world for you. Okay, you have to... You have to admit that sort of touches
you. You're a sucker for that.
Oh my goodness, I love the corniness of it all. But quite seriously though, Amy did do her research, and she and her husband noticed and learned that 70% of disabled people in our society are unemployed. So they decided to be part of the solution for their own children and of course for society overall. So yeah, congratulations to Amy Wright for winning the 2017 CNN Hero of the Year award. I thought I was going to watch this live. I could not wake up at like 3 o'clock just to watch this. But yeah, it's amazing. Some of the other candidates who were in the running include a Stan Hayes, who's a grand champion pitmaster who uses his barbecuing skills to feed people in need during disasters through Operation Barbecue Relief. And there's also a Jennifer Maddox, who created an after-school program called Future Ties, which provides a safe space for more than 100 children to learn, grow, and succeed in Chicago. And then, of course, our very own South African, Mama Rosie, who created the organization Baphumelele, which provides care for more than 5,000 orphaned and abandoned sick children.
We came up with that Brownies and Donnies before this chick in North Carolina with Bitty and Bo.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so we should have that as well.
We should have. We should have been.
I don't want to take something away from
flag
Down,
higher.
Right. Don't want to take something away from Down syndrome people, but I think the ones who deserve it are people in Cape Town.
We should have been voting more. That's our thing.
Hey, do you want to hear Nkosi Sanazuma trying to explain why she didn't win the election?
Oh, she speaks.
Yeah, listen.
On the 24th, we were supposed to vote for our MCA. We were not vote because that day. The ballot papers, the ballot boxes delayed, and they delayed. They report. They brought the ballot boxes at the time, and on that day,
Okay, honey.
They did not vote. And they did not. They distribute the ballot boxes on the polling stations.
Okay.
And the people.
Oh. Okay, it's obviously not Nkosi and not Lamini Zuma, but how funny. All right, and then Graham says, Sia, please. Only hookers and drug dealers roll on Long Street these days.
Oh. Really? Okay. I was ill-informed.
Oy.
But they also seem like quite a good time.
Michelle says, guys, I love that the tourists and visitors pay my salary, but holy hell, it's tough. People are slow on the roads and holiday mode. Me, I'm just trying to get to and from work. Thank you. I am working New Year's weekend, so... That's Michelle. She actually said, all right, they're very good. I don't know if you heard Batabile yesterday. Did you hear her saying, first of all, I mean, we know that she cried and cried and cried after the election results came out and Nkosi Sana didn't win. But then she said before that in an interview with SABC that she doesn't understand why South Africans are so judgmental. We should forgive state capture the same way we forgave apartheid.
Yeah, I saw that quote that? Somewhere.
And then she went...
I actually think as a nation we are very forgiving. But yeah. Do not fool us. We are very, very smart and we see right through you. So don't tell us to forgive state capture when you fooled us from the very get-go.
Right, exactly. What do you have to say to that, Nkosi Sana and Batabile? I mean, Batabile, do you have anything else to say about it?
It's too early.
Hang on.
Au revoir, my dear.
All right, thank you.
That's why it's too early. She right, can't speak.
Yeah, no, of course not. Right it's much now. Too early.
Yeah, yeah.
And someone's got to do something about the puzza face. So early in the morning. All right, let's get going, shall we? Happy, happy Christmas. It's all on the way. Do you like my version?
Sure, we can go with that.
All right, let's do this.
This is CliffCentral.com.